grace and mercy and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for today comes from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. We want to be important, needed even. We want to be an indispensable cog on the wheel. We want to be necessary, as if without us, everything will fall apart. I mean, after all, necessity for us means job security. And indispensability, well, that means control. Of course, indispensability can also mean anxiety and stress. It's hard to bear the weight of the world, even your little corner of the world, all on your shoulders. The person who can't let go, turn off, tune out, is either a slave or a slave driver. How did someone like St. Paul evangelize the whole Mediterranean world, sometimes from prison, without something like the latest smartphone? Martin Luther, I think, had a profound sense of his own non-necessity. He once remarked, "While I drink my little glass of Wittenberg beer, the gospel runs its course." That's how a free man talks. He can preach the word and then cheerfully step down from the pulpit, take off his robes, and have a little glass of Wittenberg beer, all in the confidence that God's word is doing its work. It is doing its killing and making alive thing. He doesn't need to be constantly busy for it to work. In fact, busy, I don't think would be one of the words used best to describe Luther. Certainly, he had much to do. But he trusted that the word would do its work. And so he could do things like pray for 4 hours a day, even when there was much work to do. And yes, of course, have his little glass of Wittenberg beer in peace at the end of the day. I wonder sometimes if we have lost much of that confidence. I mean, these days it seems like we're busier than ever. We're working harder than ever, running around more than ever. And even when we have our little glass of Wittenberg beer, it certainly seems like we've always got that cell phone close at hand, just in case I'm needed. Management by crisis, right? Just like with the government, everything seems to be a crisis in the church today. We've got a crisis in missions, in catechesis, in rural churches, in city churches. One crisis after another, as the church runs from one thing to the next, one slogan to the next, one program to the next. There are the continual barrages, all to extend the kingdom, grow the kingdom, further the kingdom. And in all our busyness of kingdom building, it seems sometimes that we've forgotten what Luther taught using his explanation of the petition, "Thy kingdom come." that the kingdom of God comes indeed without our prayer of itself. But we pray in this petition that it may come among us also. That is the point of the parable of the seed that grew secretly. The sower sows his seed in the earth. And in Jesus' day, that didn't really take very much training. We're not really talking about soil science here. You take some seed, you scatter it on the ground. That's it. The sower doesn't even really care much where it lands, if the parable of the four kinds of soil is any indicator. Good soil, rocks, weeds, hard pack, whatever. And then the sower goes on about his day, on to his routine. He sleeps, he rises, he goes to the store, he fixes dinner. He has his little glass of Wittenberg beer, if he's aloof. And while the seed sown in the earth, all the while that seed sown in the earth sprouts and it grows. And the sower, he doesn't have any clue as to how this works. It happens automatically. That's the key word in this parable for today. Automatically. Without any poking or prodding on the part of the sower. The ground with its seed inside of it, that produces fruit. First the blade, then the ear, then the kernel of grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, then comes the harvest. It all happens automatically. You gardeners out there, you know this from experience. You plant the seed in the soil, you cover it up, you water it, but most of all, you leave it alone. If you were to go out every single morning, uncover your little seed and poke it to see how it's doing, you'd kill it. It would never sprout so much as grow. But if you leave it alone to do its thing, it'll do just fine. I've got a tiny little garden patch out back. And honestly, despite my relative inexperience, it's doing better than some gardens that I've had in my backyards in the past. Frankly, I think, because I mostly leave it alone. I'm not back there messing with it every hour of every day. That, combined with the terrific growing seasons out here in the Kootenays, and these little seeds that I've planted, they do their work. And from what I'm getting, it seems to do just fine without me. A little watering, a little weeding, that's all it takes. Our parable for today tells us that it's very much the same when it comes to the kingdom of God. Let Jesus do his work, and he does just fine, automatically. He is the word, the seed sown in the earth. He is the kernel of wheat who dies and is buried, and who rises again and bears much fruit. The whole earth rises from the dead in the power of his one little resurrection. And with Jesus' resurrection comes this harvest of a new creation. And no one really quite knows how it works. It just does, automatically. So the crucified and risen Jesus in any old world, this world full of the least, the lost, sinners, and let him do his work there. He knows what he's doing, and he works just fine. So dead and risen Jesus in any old heart, and he works just fine. He forgives sinners. He raises the dead. Your anxiety, my worry, our busyness, that doesn't add anything to what Jesus himself does. Really, they just take the joy out of being a part of it. The word works automatically. All you have to do is sow it, scatter it, which really hardly takes any advanced degree in agricultural science, or evangelism science for that matter. Sometimes it seems like we've sort of lost that joy too. Even the smallest child armed with the Apostles' Creed has more than enough know-how to sow the seed of the kingdom. Because you don't have to know exactly how it works. You need only to know that it works. And trust that God knows what he's doing. That he works automatically. Part of our problem, perhaps the reason that we're always tinkering and meddling, is that we tend to trust our eyes instead of our ears. We're impressed with big buildings, large crowds, a good show. And sometimes we start to think that the reign of God can be measured in ways that we measure business and celebrities. That success is a sign of God's acceptance and approval. Successful churches are growing churches, as though all growth is always good. Crabgrass can grow, very often uncontrolled. Doesn't make it good. Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like a single mustard seed. Small, insignificant, very easily overlooked. You can barely pick it up between your thumb and your forefinger. If you sneeze, you're liable to blow it away after you bury it in the ground. Well, it might as well be as good as lost. But let it be. Let it sit. And it grows into a great big shrub, with room enough even for its branches, for all the birds of the air. Birds, by the way, who probably devoured hundreds of these tiny seeds for breakfast. This parable isn't quite about the growth of the kingdom, but about how a small and insignificant kingdom, God's reign, how it appears to the world. Even as we speak, it appears small as nothing to the world. This parable isn't about growing churches and adding to the kingdom's numbers, although those can be good things. This parable is about how God reveals himself in the small, the weak, the hidden, the insignificant. The crowning moment for the king of this kingdom was a cross of all things. With the exception of a handful of followers, most of them from the lower rungs of society, the world barely took notice of that very Good Friday when Jesus hung in the darkness between noon and three. And yet, in that mustard seed-sized death is packed the death of all and the life of the world. The entire forgiveness of every and all sin. The resurrection of all the dead. The reconciliation of the world to God. You wouldn't have known that just by looking at Jesus on the cross. You can only trust it. As St. Paul reminded us, what is seen is temporal. What is unseen is eternal. And so we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith, as small as a mustard seed, can move mountains. A kingdom the size of a mustard seed is all we are given to see God's reign. And signs of the kingdom, well, they're just as small. Think of holy baptism. It's not always much to look at. But the simple water, the simple words, they are the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Spirit in the death of Jesus. Take the word of forgiveness. Again, it's not very much to look at, but it is genuine, 24 karat, 200 proof, 100% forgiveness spoken personally to you. How easy it is to overlook these things. They are the size of mustard seeds in a world that barely notices such things. And yet here is the power of God to salvation. Here is the power of Jesus to forgive sin, to raise you from the dead. Here is the kingdom that begins like a tiny, insignificant mustard seed, with one lonely death on a cross. And it ends with a tree of life big enough to embrace the whole world, including the birds. That's the powerful little seed that God has put into your hands to sow. So like the sower in the parable, scatter it recklessly. Tell that good news of Jesus. Sow it with joy, free from anxiety and worry about success or failure. And then, seed scattered, just like the sower at the end of his day, relax. Turn off the cell phone. Enjoy that little glass of Wittenberg beer, knowing that the hidden word of God is always at work, automatically, because he does it for you. Amen. Now may that peace of God which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.